Chapter 64. And we'll give you a polishing that shall keep your curls on for the next 10 years. With this, she tilted some of the contents of the little bottle onto one of the little bits of flannel, and, again imparting some of the virtues of that preparation to one of the little brushes, began rubbing and scraping away with both on the crown of Steerforth's head in the busiest manner I ever witnessed, talking all the time. "There's Charlie Pygrove, the Duke's son," she said. "You know Charlie?" peeping round into his face. "A little," said Steerforth. "What a man he is. There's a whisker. As to Charlie's legs, if they were only a pair, which they ain't, they'd defy competition. Would you believe he tried to do without me in the lifeguards too?" Mad. Said Steerforth. "It looks like it. However, mad or sane, he tried," returned Miss Mocher. "What does he do? But, lo and behold you, he goes into a perfumer's shop, and wants to buy a bottle of the Madagascar liquid." "Charlie does?" said Steerforth. "Charlie does. But they haven't got any of the Madagascar liquid." "What is it? Something to drink?" Asked Steerforth. "To drink?" Returned Miss Mocher, stopping to slap his cheek. "To doctor his own mustachios with, you know. There was a woman in the shop, elderly female, quite a griffin, who had never even heard of it by name." "Begging pardon, sir," said the griffin to Charlie, "it's not rouge, is it?" "Rouge," said Charlie to the griffin. "What the unmentionable 2 years polite, do you think I want with rouge?" "No offense, sir," said the griffin. "We have it asked for by so many names, I thought it might be." "Now that, my child," continued Miss Mocher, rubbing all the time as busily as ever, "is another instance of the refreshing humbug I was speaking of. I do something in that way myself, perhaps a good deal, perhaps a little sharp's the word, my dear boy, never mind." "In what way do you mean?" "In the rouge way?" said Steerforth. "Put this and that together, my tender pupil," returned the wary Mocher, touching her nose, "work it by the rule of secrets in all trades, and the product will give you the desired result. I say I do a little in that way myself. One dowager, she calls it lip salve. Another, she calls it gloves. Another, she calls it tucker edging. Another, she calls it a fan. I call it whatever they call it. I supply it for 'em, but we keep up the trick so, to one another, and make believe with such a face, that they'd as soon think of laying it on, before a whole drawing room, as before me. And when I wait upon 'em, they'll say to me sometimes with it on thick, and no mistake, how am I looking, Mocher? Am I pale? Ha, 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 ha. Isn't that refreshing, my young friend?" I never did in my days behold anything like Mocher as she stood upon the dining table, intensely enjoying this refreshment, rubbing busily at Steerforth's head, and winking at me over it. "Ah!" she said. "Such things are not much in demand hereabouts. That sets me off again. I haven't seen a pretty woman since I've been here, Jemmy." "No?" said Steerforth. "Not the ghost of one," replied Miss Mocher. "We could show her the substance of one, I think," said Steerforth, addressing his eyes to mine. "Eh, Daisy?" "Yes, indeed," said one. "Aha!" Cried the little creature, glancing sharply at my face, and then peeping round at Steerforth's. The first exclamation sounded like a question put to both of us, and the second like a question put to Steerforth only. She seemed to have found no answer to either, but continued to rub, with her head on one side and her eye turned up, as if she were looking for an answer in the air, and were confident of its appearing presently. "A sister of yours, Mr. Copperfield?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, she cried, after a pause, and still keeping the same lookout. I, apostrophe, no, apostrophe, said Steerforth, before I could reply. Nothing of the sort. On the contrary, Mr. Copperfield used, or I am much mistaken, to have a great admiration for her. Apostrophe, why, hasn't he now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Miss Mocher. Is he fickle? Oh, for shame. Did he sip every flower, and change every hour, until Polly his passion requited? Is her name Polly? Apostrophe, the elfin suddenness with which she pounced upon me with this question, and a searching look, quite disconcerted me for a moment. No, Miss Mocher, apostrophe, I replied. Her name is Emily. Apostrophe, aha! Apostrophe, apostrophe, she cried exactly as before. Umph! What a rattle I am! Mr. Copperfield, ain't I volatile? Apostrophe, apostrophe, her tone and look implied something that was not agreeable to me in connection with the subject. So I said, in a graver manner than any of us had yet assumed. She is as virtuous as she is pretty. She is engaged to be married to a most worthy and deserving man in her own station of life. I esteem her for her good sense, as much as I admire her for her good looks. Apostrophe, well said. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Steerforth. Here, here, here. Now I'll quench the curiosity of this little Fatima, my dear Daisy, by leaving her nothing to guess at. She is at present apprenticed, Miss Mocher, or articled, or whatever it may be, to Omer and Joram, haberdashers, milliners, and so forth, in this town. Do you observe? Omer and Joram, the promise of which my friend has spoken, is made and entered into with her cousin, Christian name, Ham, surname, Peggotty, occupation, boat builder, also of this town. She lives with a relative. Christian name, unknown, surname, Peggotty, occupation, seafaring, also of this town. She is the prettiest and most engaging little fairy in the world. I admire her as my friend does exceedingly. If it were not that I might appear to disparage her intended, which I know my friend would not like, I would add, that to me, she seems to be throwing herself away, that I am sure she might do better, and that I swear she was born to be a lady. Apostrophe, Miss Mocher listened to these words, which were very slowly and distinctly spoken, with her head on one side, and her eye in the air, as if she were still looking for that answer. When he ceased she became brisk again in an instant, and rattled away with surprising volubility. Oh, and that's all about it, is it? Apostrophe, she exclaimed, trimming his whiskers with a little restless pair of scissors, that went glancing round his head in all directions. Very well. Very well. Quite a long story. Ought to end, and they lived happy ever afterwards. Oughtn't it? Ah. What's that game at forfeits? I love my love with Annie, because she's enticing. I hate her with Annie, because she's engaged. I took her to the sign of the exquisite, and treated her with an elopement. Her name's Emily, and she lives in the East? Ha! 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 Mr. Copperfield, ain't I volatile? Apostrophe, merely looking at me with extravagant slyness, and not waiting for any reply, she continued, without drawing breath. There! If ever any scapegrace was trimmed and touched up to perfection, you are, Steerforth. If I understand any noddle in the world, I understand yours. Do you hear me when I tell you that, my darling? I understand yours, apostrophe, peeping down into his face. Now you may mizzle, Jemmy, as we say at court, and if Mr. Copperfield will take the chair, I'll operate on him. Apostrophe, what do you say, Daisy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Steerforth, laughing and resigning his seat. Will you be improved? Apostrophe, thank you, Miss Mocher, not this evening. Apostrophe, don't say no, apostrophe, returned the little woman, looking at me with the aspect of a connoisseur. A little bit more eyebrow? Apostrophe, apostrophe, thank you, apostrophe, I returned, some other time. apostrophe, have it carried half a quarter of an inch towards the temple, apostrophe said Miss Mocher. We can do it in a fortnight. Apostrophe, no, I thank you. Not at present. Apostrophe, go in for a tip, apostrophe she urged. No? Let's get the scaffolding up then, for a pair of whiskers. Come. Apostrophe, I could not help blushing as I declined, for I felt we were on my weak point now. But Miss Mocher, finding that I was not at present disposed for any decoration within the range of her art, and that I was, for the time being, proof against the blandishments of the small bottle which she held up before one eye to enforce her persuasions, said we would make a beginning on an early day, and requested the aid of my hand, to descend from her elevated station. Thus assisted, she skipped down with much agility, and began to tie her double chin into her bonnet. The fee, apostrophe said Steerforth, is apostrophe, 5 bob, apostrophe replied Miss Mocher, and dirt cheap, my chicken. Ain't I volatile, Mr. Copperfield? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I replied politely. Not at all. Apostrophe, but I thought she was rather so, when she tossed up his 2 half-crowns like a goblin pieman, caught them, dropped them in her pocket, and gave it a loud slap. That's the till. Apostrophe, apostrophe, observed Miss Mocher, standing at the chair again, and replacing in the bag a miscellaneous collection of little objects she had emptied out of it. Have I got all my traps? It seems so. It won't do to be like Long Ned Beadwood, when they took him to church, to marry him to somebody, as he says, and left the bride behind. Ha! 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 A wicked rascal, Ned, but droll. Now, I know I'm going to break your hearts, but I am forced to leave you. You must call up all your fortitude, and try to bear it. Goodbye, Mr. Copperfield. Take care of yourself, Jockey of Norfolk. How I have been rattling on. It's all the fault of you 2 wretches. I forgive you. Bob swore, as the Englishman said for good night when he first learned French and thought it so like English. Bob swore, my ducks. Apostrophe, with the bag slung over her arm, and rattling as she waddled away, she waddled to the door, where she stopped to inquire if she should leave us a lock of her hair. Ain't I volatile? Apostrophe, she added, as a commentary on this offer, and, with her finger on her nose, departed. Steerforth laughed to that degree that it was impossible for me to help laughing too, though I am not sure I should have done so, but for this inducement. When we had had our laugh quite out, which was after some time, he told me that Miss Mocher had quite an extensive connection, and made herself useful to a variety of people in a variety of ways. Some people trifled with her as a mere oddity, he said, but she was as shrewdly and sharply observant as anyone he knew, and as long-headed as she was short-armed. He told me that, what she had said of being here, and there, and everywhere, was true enough, for she made little darts into the provinces, and seemed to pick up customers everywhere, and to know everybody. I asked him what her disposition was, whether it was at all mischievous, and if her sympathies were generally on the right side of things. But, not succeeding in attracting his attention to these questions after 2 or 3 attempts, I forbore or forgot to repeat them. He told me instead, with much rapidity, a good deal about her skill, and her profits, and about her being a scientific cupper, if I should ever have occasion for her service in that capacity. She was the principal theme of our conversation during the evening. And when we parted for the night, Steerforth called after me over the banisters, Bob swore, apostrophe apostrophe, as I went downstairs. I was surprised, when I came to Mr. Barkis's house, to find Ham walking up and down in front of it, and still more surprised to learn from him that little Emily was inside. I naturally inquired why he was not there too, instead of pacing the streets by himself. Why, you see, Master Davy, apostrophe, he rejoined, in a hesitating manner, Emily, she's talking to someone in here. apostrophe, I should have thought, apostrophe said I, smiling, that was a reason for your being in here too, Ham. Apostrophe, well, Master Davy, in a general way, so tea would be, apostrophe he returned. But looky here, Master Davy, apostrophe lowering his voice, and speaking very gravely. It's a young woman, sir, a young woman, that Emily knowed once, and deed ought to know no more. Apostrophe, when I heard these words, a light began to fall upon the figure I had seen following them, some hours ago. It's a poor worm, Master Davy, apostrophe said Ham, as is trod underfoot by all the town. Up street and down street. The mowl though the churchyard don't hold any, that the folk shrink away from, more. Apostrophe, did I see her tonight, Ham, on the sand, after we met you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, keeping us in sight? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Ham. It's like you did, Master Davy. Not that I know it then, she was fear, sir, but along of her creeping soon arterwards under Emily's little winder, when she see the light come, and whispering, Emily, Emily, for Christ's sake, have a woman's heart towards me. I was once like you. Those was solemn words, Master Davy, fur to hear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they were indeed, Ham. What did Emily do? Apostrophe says Emily, Martha, is it you? Oh, Martha, can it be you? For they had sat at work together, many a day, at Mr. Omer's. Apostrophe, I recollect her now. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried I, recalling one of the two girls I had seen, when I first went there. I recollect her quite well. Apostrophe, Martha Endel, apostrophe said Ham. 2 or 3 years older than Emily, but was at the school with her. Apostrophe, I never heard her name, apostrophe said one. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Apostrophe, for the matter o' that, Master Davy, apostrophe replied Ham, all's told amist in them words, Emily, Emily, for Christ's sake, have a woman's heart towards me. I was once like you. She wanted to speak to Emily. Emily couldn't speak to her fear, for her loving uncle was come home, and he wouldn't know, Master Davy, apostrophe said Ham, with great earnestness, he couldn't, kind natured, tender-hearted as he is, see them two together, side by side, for all the treasures that's wrecked in the sea. Apostrophe, I felt how true this was. I knew it, on the instant, quite as well as Ham. So Emily writes in pencil on a bit of paper, apostrophe he pursued, and gives it to her out o' winder to bring here. Show that, she says, to my aunt, Mrs. Barkis, and she'll set you down by her fire, for the love of me, till uncle is gone out, and I can come. By and by she tells me what I tell you, Master Davy, and asks me to bring her. What can I do? She need not to know any such, but... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.